All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Gundam Explained show live. I'm your host, Adam Blue, and joining me is best Gundam pal ever, Steven. And I had a sad to miss you yesterday.
BFGFFE, I don't know. Best Gundam friend forever and ever, I don't know.
Sounds like a call sign of a mobile suit or something, yeah.
Possibly so. No,
or an acronym of a video game.
Right. It's for something like that. Yeah, you know, we missed you last night. It was an extra long episode of the Hatter Live show with Nick from ODO, from RVA Gunpla. So that was a lot of fun. But
I know. So yeah, the reason I didn't make it was obviously I went to go see GQX. So I'm going to talk about that here. Crazy stuff happened last night. And I can't wait to tell you guys what it was about. But what was cool about that though was then that's I was able to actually to tune in to the show, and it was cool that it went over, because even I was waiting to then go back to the next showing, and I'll get to that. But
nice.
No, it was cool looking at all that stuff. The one takeaway that I got was I loved the idea of the, and I was talking about this earlier, like the Zaku, like a build where it's not supposed to be a fancy pose or anything.
Yeah.
The diorama doesn't matter. It's like how pristine can, and not that it's like perfect, just how can it like give off this like, wow, look at this immaculate piece, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Then, well, I was actually just talking to Gelgu guy before the show, you know, about like seriously painting a polycap, things like that, that are just, and it was so funny that every time Nick and I would get on a topic like, ooh, you know, let's talk about posing. And then the very next model we looked at was like, had no posing whatsoever. And it was like, and this still like, so yeah. It was like, there really is no right way to do Gunpla. And I think that's one of the takeaway messages.
The takeaway though I got, and I think about this daily actually, is you have, if you want to do Gunpla right, it's like you have to remove the seams. And I feel like that's one of the hardest things, you know, because just even though he said it's only for like, you know, the judging those tournaments, but like, that's like the main criteria first. It's like making sure. And that's like, man, that like, that's just something that takes time. But yeah. The payoff though, it looks good. Cause like, wow, look at this solid piece. So when I was thinking earlier, I was like, if I want to start doing that, maybe I should practice with a piece where there's not actually many visible seam lines. So I can kind of see like, how can I like, because there's a few processes to this. This is maybe, you know, taking apart that piece first to see how you can get it back together while getting that correct type of glue fit on there. And then you have to be able to work it too, to where you're getting that line off, but you're also sanding it down and then, you know, maybe putting some extra putty or whatever on there.
Sure. And he brought up a very good point that like sometimes real grades and master grades are easier to work with because so many of the seam lines are designed to be hidden. You know, they're like already, whereas like a high grade kit, there's so many exposed seam lines to work on. And then the challenge of then painting those parts after you've removed seam lines, like you said, it's like,
that's why these things are a big deal when you see it, you know, or like that looks pristine. It's interesting because I was looking at my Sinanju Stein Verka.
And
it doesn't have many seam lines that are visible. It's like, okay, that's interesting. And then I was looking at, Gundam EX from Requiem, and it's like, oh, you can't even see there either. But then I was looking at the Rising Freedom. Yeah. And I was like, okay, so I can kind of see like the type of kit where it's almost like you can mentally remember where a seam line is going to be, like on a bicep or something, depending on what it is. I think it's something I'm going to practice with more. But, you know, speaking of kits and stuff, really cool is I got a package from Art Revo Gundam today. I did a little stream real quick, but it's the GQX or GQX.
GQX.
But anyway, what's cool though is just the timing. Like I even have mine. Pre-ordered it Hobby Link Japan. It's still under pre-order or like waiting to ship. So I'm not going to pay for another one if you know what I mean. So that's what's awesome about Art Revo Gundam. I don't know how many more he has left, but again, link in the description.
I was going to say, I think he sold out like the first batch that he got, right?
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah. Wow. Okay, so something else then to add, and I don't know if he has these up yet, but he sent a few of these Vic Hobby paints.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have heard of that brand. What's cool about it is these are specifically for Gundam, even though it doesn't say. It's just like this is called Space Mecha Pink, which, nice. You know, that's excellent for like Char, you know, so it's cool.
Yeah.
That when you see that, and there was other one, there's like aluminum, dark aluminum. So yeah, I'm going to give him a try. And on it, it says mini acrylic. Actually, let me get one of the mecha ones back here. Yeah. Semi-gloss sci-fi. So the one that has the mecha, it's like called sci-fi, and it says on it like brush and airbrush. So the idea is you could use brush, airbrush. So I'll test it out too. And then I'll even test with like thinning it to certain degrees just to see like, hey, you know, in the metallics to see how they work. It's yeah. That's
so yeah. On that note, I showed this off last night that I've been working on the V8 yeah. again. And one of the things that I did was I actually sponge painted the shoulders. And the result turned out really, really good. But one of the other things that I'm testing out is because I've never been a big fan of like Gundam markers because I don't like the depressible tips and then like, you know, the ink kind of the paint like runs out of them.
Love so, it. I don't know what it is, but maybe it's because you had better experience with other things.
So I think a lot of it comes down to like what I've used in the past. Like, you know, obviously I love doing my metallic Sharpies for like thrusters and things like that. And then I've always used like Copic markers when I'm illustrating. And so one of the things that I have on hand are tons of these watercolor brush pens. And so it's like, it's basically like a little empty reservoir that you can fill with water. And then you would use it to do watercolors. So one of the tests that I am working on is filling this guy with Vallejo model color acrylic paint and thinning it out with, I've tried both water and using some X20A thinner. Yeah. And just trying to get that perfect consistency to make an acrylic brush pen from your favorite paints. So
that's pretty neat. So wait, so you haven't done it yet?
So this actually is like a flesh tone because it's probably my least used model color naturally.
Okay.
And true. It's a little too thin with this particular consistency, but wow. Once I nail down the correct consistency, I will for sure let you guys know what that is. And
oh yeah, that'd be pretty cool because there is something about the tools you use. You know, like the sponge thing you were just bringing up. Like I forgot about that. We were talking about that before. I need to think about that for some of the painting I'm going to be doing.
Yeah,
very cool stuff. And then I'm trying to think if. There was anything else I don't know. This week went by so fast, especially with, I guess I'll say real quick with the videos I released, right? Didn't I release an after war kind of like,
yeah, summary explain, of after war,
which it hit me the other day because I liked after war so much that I wanted to wrap my head around a little bit, but it's almost like when I'm talking to people about it, how can I kind of quickly explain how it's cool? And then that's how I got the idea for this video also because my channel is called Gundam Explains. Like I need to start doing videos like that where they're these kind of quick explained because I want that to be where, oh, you're interested in Double Zeta? Here's this like quick 8-minute video that actually explains the plot.
Yeah, like you don't need like a 45-minute, you know, total breakdown. But yeah, like an 8 to 12-minute just here's the key points that you need to know to understand what happened in that series. That's awesome.
Yeah. And I want to do that for all of them and it will help me too, because then the next level that I want to do is to actually go through each, like for instance, it might be like 2 1-hour videos of just going through Mobile Suit Gundam. And that would be something we collab on so we can kind of go back and forth with it. Because the idea is, not necessarily episode by episode, but like maybe episode chunks by episode chunks to really talk about like this, you know, what happened, but and it reminds me, because you know how sometimes we'll talk, especially about Zeta, we'll talk about that one or two scene that does this and does that. But I feel like there's a lot more. We haven't seen it. Like even you uncovering that stuff from Mobile Suit Gundam and Zeta, there's so much more that can be done.
For sure. I mean, I think that one of the things that people have not done so much with Gundam that they've done with other anime is breaking it down into arcs, because it doesn't feel that way when you're watching a Gundam series. It feels like one continuous story. But like, you know, using Dragon Ball Z as an example, it's like you have the Frieza saga, you have the Saiyan saga, you have the Cell saga. And so it's like you have these story arcs where it's a self-contained, you know, episodic structure. And Gundam does have that to an extent. And so when I was kind of revisiting that, and I was thinking about like doing like a longer explained or dissecting Gundam on just the original series, I was like, everything up until the white base goes to Earth, like that's one arc.
Yeah. I see what you're saying here. Like, I see that too. Even a lot of times the shows have that end arc where all of a sudden the last 15 episodes or 10 episodes are in space and you see all like the badass super weapons exactly. All of a sudden, you know, like I like that. That's a really good idea to kind of go through and maybe break down the longer series into arcs. And that can kind of help maybe with language when people are talking about Gundam to be like, oh, that arc of, I would even think there's the Char, Haman arc. That's almost like its own arc in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, yesterday's video was the Evangelion review, because, you know, I finished the series and explained, you know, how much it's, you got to watch it. I think it's worth it. But, I've had Ultronimus, our mutual friend, and another friend of mine that, you know, as well, Andrew, Goji,
Goji Unlimited. Yeah.
He was at the movie yesterday. And he had brought this up too, that, you know, I'd watched Evangelion on Netflix, and that's actually a fine way to do it, but it still actually cuts some super graphic stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, he advised, just buying the physical release of it to watch. And you know what? I'd see myself doing that soon. Because it's one of those chill watches. Like, you can watch it and enjoy it, and you're not going to be like bored of an episode. Even if, like, okay, here's that cringe episode where it's playing like happy music and they're playing with a penguin and what's happening, you know, it's.
But yeah, I think what was interesting is when I was watching that video of yours, and you were talking about like your critique of the sort of ending arc being within the characters' minds, and like, you know, kind of that self-awareness. And it's interesting. I don't know. You know, that's you definitely have made me want to watch it more. Obviously, Ultronimus has been singing Eva's praises to me, and then our friend Howling at the Earth, Wayne Snow, he's like, dude, you got to watch Evangelion, and I'm like, oh man, I guess I do.
The thing too, it reminds me, and this might sound bad, of the prequels, where it's like the artist is very expressive and creative, but almost to a flaw to anyone outside that bubble.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where it's like, it actually still is cool because that is the thing they came up with.
And it's it's self-awareness too, right? Like, I mean, even Kojima is the same way, where it's like, he'll be the first to tell you that's like, I love 80s action movies. And like, I'm going to overly explain and overly reference 80s action movies because that's what I love. Like,
And you know what's interesting about that too, you know, just kind of thinking about, you know, like these artists and these things they make a lot where, you know, when other people might, that's weird, that's kind of strange. Like, that's almost like a good, in a way, depending on that type of indifferent reaction, because sometimes that might be more of a curiosity or more of a new thought. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's that thing when you're faced with something that you're not familiar with. So you're almost, questioning, and it because I think that happens a lot with everything in reality, and a lot of times it's easy to default to like, ooh, that's gross, or ooh, I hate it. When it's like, well, no, yes, it's giving you a feeling, but that's not what your reaction of the feeling should be.
I mean, art is supposed to kind of make you feel uncomfortable in a way, right? Like it's
almost like reminding you of how bananas really everything is in front of you.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's holding up a mirror to society and to reality. And so there's an aspect of that to it. But yeah, I mean, I think everyone knows that, like, the artists in their lives, you know, there's something not quite right with them. Right. They're tapped into something that's, that makes them, what's the word that makes them like diverge from the norm, right?
Yeah, I think it's something around they're able to foster, and I think anyone can do this, foster a feeling, an emotion. I talk about this like a vibe, and it's like some artists know how to capture that vibe, and it's like, oh, I figured out how to make this vibe. And that's like through music or visuals,
right?
Yeah, that's why I love this stuff. And so, yeah, I guess then the next topic then we'll go into, speaking of artists, even just talking about Evangelion, the G-Quex movie, which crazy, you know, I can't believe
like what happened. Like I was following the saga that you were posting on Instagram about it.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah. So
it's like a Dude, Where's My Car, or like the Hangover type scenario that happened.
It could have been. It's like a dad's version of that. But Dad, Where's My Car? I don't know. So what happened was, I got the tickets pre-ordered for the AMC. It was like IMAX. And I was like, oh, cool. I haven't been to IMAX like 20 years, and I'd love to see something Gundam in IMAX. And my youngest and my wife was going to come with me, and then my wife wasn't feeling good, so she didn't want to go. But then my son was going to have soccer practice. At first I thought I was going to be able to make it. I was like, oh, with the time, it's either, hey, maybe I just go, you take me to practice, or we leave your practice early. And he's like, no, you know, just get practice. We plan this. And I was like, okay, we'll go. But he didn't really even care. So we get out there, and when I get there, they're like, well, the movie's going to be 15 minutes. It's delayed 15 minutes. So we'll let you know when to come in. I'm like, okay. So we walked. It was at the mall. We went to the mall real quick. Came back. And then that's when I ran into Goji FX Unlimited. So I brought him up before. I got the 3D printed like buildings. He lives in the area. He's into Evangelion too. We were talking about it a whole lot yesterday, but
because he does kaiju stuff, like, yes, you know, like his buildings are in.
And he was able to go into the stories just like Ultronimus, or the detail, the lore, like Ultronimus and everyone. But it was cool. So it was cool to see him there. And then I remembered he had brought up that movie before, because we talk every once in a while, because he knew it was made by the studio of Evangelion. So it was just so cool. Oh, cool to see someone else that's there. So we're just nerding out. And then we go to sit down, and then it's past 7:15. And like, it's like, man, what is going on? And then, and here's the thing, it's an IMAX theater and it was packed. I was shocked, like, that there would be so many people in here. And for the original Mobile Suit Gundam movie, there was five people, maybe six, in the theater. So, and then this lady walks into the theater, and then she's like, well, first I remember this bigger guy walking in, like, that worked there, just looking around. I'm like, oh, I wonder what is, do they have an announcement? And then another person came in. And she's like, get this. She's like, guys, I hate to tell you, the hard drive they sent us is corrupted. And we can't get it to play. We tried to rebuild it. So we can't play the movie tonight. And, you know, I feel like I'm at a point in my life where I can have some zen. And I hear that. The sudden punch in my face. And I just took it. And I'm all like, that's fine. You know what? I'm just going to look at ticket. I'm off tomorrow morning. I'll look at tickets first thing in the morning. But luckily, Goji FX Unlimited, awesome idea. Andrew, I should say Andrew, he came up to me because he was a different role. He's like, hey, there's this AMC theater, you know, 20 minutes away that actually has this new laser technology, and it's the bigger IMAX screen, and they're playing it at 9. So that would plenty of time.
Plenty of time to get over there. And
yeah, so I'm like, I look at my son, and he's all like, yeah, I'm not going to go. And I'm like, okay, I understand. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to go take him home, and then you know, we would meet up. And so what happened was, he found out, he had called, and it's cool that he did all this work. He called that theater and he told them what happened. And he's all like, yeah, if you bring the passes you got there, you can just use it to get in. The thing was, I was so excited and talking, I didn't bother grabbing passes. but I didn't care. I was like, you know what? My son's not gonna be with me anyway. I'm just going to buy the ticket for myself. So yeah. We meet up, we head out there, and then we run into traffic. And we don't think we're going to get there on time, but we're like having fun talking like retro gaming, like just because he's our age, you know, so we're just talking about all that. And he has a son the same age as mine. So that kind of helped, you know, like
that's cool.
The common ground stuff. So, there's traffic. We get there and then, we go up to the guy and we're like, what was it? I was like, oh yeah, can I get a refund or is it possible? You know, is it possible I can get a pass? Here's my ticket. And he's like, nah. And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. I just want to watch the movie. So we got the ticket. We get in and there was a lot of people. I was surprised still. Like, this is another part of town, another IMAX theater. And we even passed an IMAX theater to get to that IMAX theater. That's how many there are around. But
wow.
Within 20 minutes.
Pretty big, huh?
Yeah.
Like, you got lots of IMAX screens.
Dallas and Fort Worth, and I think the airport, it's like everything's right there. We get in there, it starts, and I'm blown away by this laser. I had never heard of it before. It's almost like, I don't know how to explain it. Sometimes, like when you watch a movie on a screen, it's almost like there's barely not a fuzz, I don't know what a word is for, not even a motion blur, but almost like a blur.
It's just not quite in focus because it's being projected onto something, right? Like,
yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's probably it. Yeah. Because with the laser, dude, it was like better than like my TV. And I think I have a cool monitor or TV, but it just looks so sharp. So
that's cool, man. So I guess, is that like the same sort of technology they use at like planetariums and like,
oh yeah, that's right. I think so, where they have them, where it's on these bigger screens. And yeah, they're probably not doing projection anymore. It's probably all like laser stuff.
Yeah.
But dude, the sound was incredible. And so I'm not going to spoil the movie, but I'll just give some quick reactions. Like, so we're watching the movie and I tell you, I'm on the edge of my seat. I don't know if it was the first half, the first third, but a first big chunk of it, I'm on the edge of my seat and I am pumping my fist and I'm enjoying it. If like after that 30, 40 minutes, you know, Sunrise stops me and they're like, okay, Adam, so far, what do you think? I would be like, this is perfect. You know? And then, it's almost like I'm building it up to then trash it. And then it gets into what it is.
Right.
And it's not bad. It's just, I care less, you know, mainly saying it because we're kind of enthusiasts of Gundam, because otherwise I would say that, oh, this is a top tier anime production. This, like, you were getting your value out of spending your time.
Yeah. Even
if it starts getting into anime tropey stuff that I don't care for, it's still Sunrise is always caring about the property. What they did with this is caring about the property.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure you're going to agree with me. Like 100%, I think you would like agree with what is amazing about it. And then what is like, who cares about it?
Yeah, probably. So, I mean, I had been planning on, you know, obviously in about 36 minutes, there's a showing that's like, you know, half an hour.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm missing out on that. So I'll have to, you know, either check out tomorrow or like Saturday or something.
What is the chances though? Because I know with the young ones and, you know, pregnant wife.
We'll see. I mean, we've got baby shower on Saturday, or baby sprinkle is what you call it for the second kid, right?
Oh, I didn't know that. That's hard. I remember, I stopped, you know, going out to movies a lot during that time because it might not be the best idea depending on what stage, you know, your wife said to go to a movie theater. And then with the kid, is it even proper for them to be watching that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, now on the first of the year, so like New Year's Day, I took my daughter to her first movie, which was Sonic 3.
Sonic 3. See, and that, yeah.
It was perfect because it was like 10 a.m. And so there was nobody, 10 a.m. New Year's Day. There was one other family that was there. So it was just like us and my daughter, which was awesome.
So the kid movies, that's what works.
Now, that said, when I was watching Witch for Mercury, my daughter was like sitting and watching it with me. So I'm convinced that I could probably talk my wife into letting me take her with me.
Well, you know what? I will say that unless I'm forgetting something, unless I'm forgetting something, there's nothing as graphic as anything in Witch for Mercury.
That's fair.
Something maybe suggestive, but only if you're like really prude about a certain thing and be like, oh, Ma, why are they showing this? Then why would you be there?
Yeah. 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 Who brings a 2-year-old to Gundam? I think that you very diplomatically conveyed that, like, you know, if you've been following Gundam for any amount of time, then this is as Gundam has been.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's really cool. And you know, and it's got me excited to finish this. I've got the head done so far. And by saying this, the G Quux.
Yeah. So they didn't say Z-Gax, correct? No.
And here's the thing too, because depending on, that's the other thing I noticed, depending on it was mainly pronounced G Quux, but sometimes it was pronounced differently depending on where it was in the sentence or how it was used. And I don't know if maybe I heard it incorrectly, the voice actor, or, you know, how they were saying it, but the guy even spelled it out. K-W-U, and I think it was K-S or C-K-S, but to be G-K-W, G-Quux with a W in U. Yeah, so when he spelled it out and said it, and then I was paying attention, but then sometimes it would end in a vowel. But I don't know if that was part of the grammar.
Having like a... I don't even know how to describe that. Like,
that's how that does that. Yeah.
Suffixes.
And that's the thing. Like, I always look back and remember I took Japanese class and they canceled this because there wasn't enough people that wanted to do it on year two. They had to cancel it. Luckily I was already doing Spanish, so I got my credit, but it would have been cool to, you know, finish. Cause you know, what's funny. Sure. I know I'm getting off topic, but right after high school, I would work this private security job where a lot of times I'd run into people that only spoke Spanish. And it's interesting how much I was able to understand. They're very basic exchanges, though, like where they need to go, where I need to take them, like who are they looking for. Those basic things I was able to pick up pretty well.
Well, and that's something that's really unique about Japanese too, is the fact that it's a very contextual language. Like, you're not speaking in complete sentences and complete thoughts a lot of the time. You're, you know, just, you'll convey an idea and then maybe gesture to something. Like, you can just say like restroom and it's like, oh yes, I know exactly what you're talking about, the restroom's back there. Like, that's they don't feel the need to articulate. It's almost like rude in a way, because you're insulting their time. Don't waste my time with fluffy language. Like, just get to the point so that I can get you out of my face.
Because what I heard was, it's almost like if you were someone that was to walk in on a conversation, you would have no idea what's being talked about, because the way it's being done, there's context from before. So it's like you're saying the language isn't wasting time. It's like kind of getting to other ideas and points, which I wonder how much that affects science, math, creativity.
You know? I mean, even if you were to think about like just translating a lot of Gundam series, a lot of anime in general into English, there's so much of the series that is communicated kind of subtextually that, like, and that's why you end up having a lot of like clunky dubs where they kind of like are overly stating something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because I think there's so many lines in Gundam, especially, where you'll see, like, you know, they'll just say something like "you," and it's like, because of the context of the situation, you're supposed to kind of infer that it's that they're calling out like, "Oh, it's you again. I wasn't expecting to see you here." And so then, like, when you get to the dubbed version of that anime, it's like, "I would have never expected to see you here in a million years," and it's.
It's like having to,
they're trying to overly explain this idea,
like, that give the background information in this. That makes a lot of sense. You know, it's interesting too, because, you know, in the past, it's better now, but when you would use a translator, like Google Translator, it's always translating the word, not actually the structure. So that's a neat layer to language. That's very fun and fascinating to learn. Like, what's the structure? How did it work? That way we can then translate back and find out which alien race provided the language that humans use today. I think it's the fish people. I saw this on a YouTube video, the fish gods. So, you know, like the Pope's hat is actually a fish head.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Because Oannes was this like fish god that came out of the water and gave, and it had a fish.
Interesting.
I know. I have more information out. But anyway, that's not this show. It could be. Hey, F91, there's a Sumerian fish god in the background on the mural. I've talked about it before. So, okay.
I've been watching a lot of Ancient Aliens lately. So I'm like,
oh, you're right on board. No, that stuff is fun. I'm telling you. I was even talking to you about this the other day, you know, with the AI, and I was researching quantum physics, and guys, yeah, in the response, it was like, and this is used in sci-fi, like the Minkowski particle in Gundam. And I was like, yeah, I know. but it's, I think, because the AI I ask it Gundam stuff. But
right.
But no, what's interesting, I'm doing a video on it. I've done a video on Minkowski physics before, but I've got a better, deeper understanding at the quantum level, what the Minkowski physics are trying to replicate that today's quantum physics can be explained, you know, and a lot of it really is the idea that it's like at that level, it's a field where space and time, it doesn't matter because it's all one point and everything is really a projection. Like, you know, they say everything's a hologram projection. Yeah. So the Minkowski particle, when it's being dispersed, it can be everywhere and make it where it affects because it's at that quantum. Anyway, that's
no, so how much of that do you think is actuality and how much of it is perception? Because obviously, like, one of the principles of quantum physics is that like a particle can exist in multiple places at the same time, which is theoretically impossible, right? But is it that it's moving so quickly that we're unable to perceive that it's moving, or does it truly exist in multiple places?
Yeah, it truly does exist. It uses like quantum tunneling so it would be energy and an electron. You can't even see an electron. It's a probability of where it is.
Right.
So think of that then on a universal level. There must be something universally that is a wave or a... Yeah. And so the idea is when you're dispersing a Minkowski particle, you're able to contain a surface area of space instantly to use it at your will. And then, so because it's using it at the quantum level, that's how then the later mobile suits start using the Minkowski flight system, because it's able to, at a quantum level, pull the electron basically from anywhere, because it doesn't have to be a specific. Anyway, I'm going to dive in more. it is fascinating. I'm going to try to write it out to make it more clear and have resources, because it is really cool how, and from what I've researched, when they were coming up with the Minkowski particle, they're doing it based off of real science.
Even the O'Neill cylinders. And there's so much of it that's based in, that makes the best kind of sci-fi, right?
Is I know.
The kind that's based in real sci.
It makes you curious. Oh, I like how you said that. It makes you curious, and then it makes you want to research it, and then you're more fascinated with the world. I mean, it's made me appreciate even like when I was watching then like the Godzilla, I forget which one, Godzilla 1999 or 2000, where the storyline is because Godzilla will come back to try to get all the energy, the nuclear reactors, they decided to use plasma. Build plasma reactors. They went forward with that technology specifically, even though it cost a whole lot, because theoretically that could be done today. But then Godzilla could detect that too. Eats the plasma.
Don't try to outsmart Godzilla.
I know. You can't. And he's really a protector of the Earth at the end of the day. It's like, you know what? That was so fun talking about quantum physics, even though I can't say I'm an expert, but like there, and you're not, it's like, it's not that you understand it, but there is these concepts that you have to try to not think about. Like, it's not a point, like the energy, the electron. It's a wave. It's a field, like probability, because the idea is everything is holographic, so it could be anywhere. Anyway, I just said that. I need to move on. I'm excited.
No, I mean, this. See, and I feel like I'm learning something. I'm like, Adam always had a way of explaining things so that I'd understand them.
That's fun stuff, I tell you. We got more fun stuff, actually. More fun stuff.
Absolutely.
So if you're not watching, I am going to do a good job, or try to do a good job, describing If you're listening, or if you're, yeah, if you're watching, I'm going to actually go through the slides. Actually, let me pull up what I'm going to share. Not that screen. Okay. So over, I think it was the weekend or whatever, I was talking with Steven about this, and I was like, we ran across these AI programs we were having fun with, and we had an idea of like making our own opening, because with the AI, we can make our own music, our own videos. So I'm not going to play the music, but if you head on over to my Instagram, the video is up. I have it on my YouTube, but it's private. I'm debating if I want it on the channel or not. I don't know, but so I have it where it has like, you know, the logo and everything. And I was like, well, in the background, I just typed in the prompt, like space with a bunch of stars, and you could choose the camera, and it's just for like the camera to sweep around. And I added like, have the Earth and asteroid show up, you know? So we did that. And then I just typed make an anime version of me. And I uploaded my photo walking in space, because you know how, like at the beginning of all anime, like Gundam, they're just walking in space.
Oh yeah. Especially like 0083 when it's the running.
Yeah, the different. Yeah. The, and so, yeah, I have me walking in space, and it's like, well, okay. So then you see, this is cool. This, some of the stuff was stuff I tested before. This was the high grade Gundam EX. And I told the AI, light up its beam saver, add smoke, and add lightning. And it did that.
Now, even, did you tell it that the beam saber goes from blue to red, or did it interpret that?
It interpreted it.
Interesting.
Not only that, but just think how the lightning looks on, like it knew to light certain sections of this. Like that's how advanced this AI is getting. And this was just my model kit, guys. This wasn't like me doing anything fancy. So it's like there's ways you could bring your model kits to life.
It's very cool.
Yeah. And then moving on, of course, I had to have Steven in the video. I think I was probably like, he joins the party. He's running by. And then I was just like, well, let's have some O'Neill cylinders in space. But that's like, that's not what an O'Neill cylinder is.
Yeah, it kind of gave you like UFOs, but
yeah,
still cool looking.
Yeah, it's still cool. And then I did the whole, okay, there needs to be a scene where you just see a bunch of anime people standing there giving the peace sign and chewing gum or something, you know? And it kind of like parallaxes the background and goes by, and it's like, okay, that's exactly it. Now this, I was like, okay, here's a picture of me. I want to be running away from anime waifus, or anime Adam running away from waifus. And then this, you know, they...
Now, what was interesting is that I thought that part of that prompt had to be that you like said like Fortnite or Roblox, because it does have like that Fortnite
animation. That's interesting. When you put anime, it will interpret it in a bunch of different ways depending on what else is there. So like when I did make it like an anime opening or something, like it got that. But this, I was like, make it where there's anime characters that are waifus chasing the character. And so, yeah, maybe it didn't know. But part of that with AI that it messes up is part of the charm, you know, that. So anyway, moving on. And then I was like, okay, we need a badass battle of mecha ships, explosions. And I'm like, you know what? This looks cool. Can't deny, you know, just to add that. And then here's me working on a video where like there's fire everywhere and I'm just typing. I think it was one of the prompts they had built in, but I kind of modified it. All right. And then this is the coolest. This is where I took my thumbnail and I just said in the prompt, have the two characters on the thumbnail fight. And so it like zooms in. And then that gave me an idea where I might start doing that with thumbnails.
That was pretty awesome. And one of the things, because I've talked about this before, like when we've talked about like the Gundam Metaverse stuff, is one of the things that I'm worried about with photogrammetry and like scanning people's model kits in is like, how well is the animation going to be when it starts like animating 3D objects? And one of the things that I've noticed about this AI model is that it is pretty good at identifying which parts are supposed to move and which ones aren't.
Yeah. Even like, if it might add some messed up detail, because it knows the shape and the form, it still looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you even see it like briefly with this Godzilla figure, where it's like almost the, you see the arm moving like in a very action figure-y way. It's not, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Where it kind of has that sort of like that's it with a plastic thing being moved. Well done. Good job, AI. And then, of course, there was another prompt that talked about like a tinkerer in a factory, and I like used it and edited it. And I was like, because that's like the ultimate, you know, Steven, all your different gadgets.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. It kind of looks like the Iron Man scene where he's like making the armor.
Yeah.
I need a leather vest like that, though. That's.
Yeah. That's no, that I loved it. Okay. So this is where we start getting into the story. So I'm just sitting here on my desk building. And then I drop the piece. It's hard to notice, but a black hole emerges. And that's where the piece goes. So I have to try to find the piece. And then before I do that, there's a moment where like I realize magnets are the future. The magnets are the power. And then you tend to do a good job burning trolls on Twitter. So there's you using your power. And I'm looking for the piece. I'm like, oh, I found it. It's right here. I'm excited. And I go to get it. It's actually Haro. I'm like, oh, I found Haro. And like, guys, I built my Gundam. And I'm looking like I'm turning to a werewolf. So this last part was like classic ending of like Zeta, like the colony coming down. Like I tried to make it look. Now, this ending is the best. I don't know if everyone hung around for the ending here. So we'll give it a second. There you go. Monkey with a banana. Famous from Zeta as well, that gets blown up. So the idea here is he survived.
I mean, this is, when you first showed me this, I was like, it's just fantastic. Everything about it, and I'm sad that like obviously those of you watching and listening can't appreciate the music. You should go and check out the video on Instagram because the music really does sell it. Like it's the there's almost crescendos with certain moments in the story that are happening that they just line up so perfectly. And I mean, like you said, going through scene by scene, you can identify so many of like the little inside memes and jokes that occur on this show.
Yeah, I know. I love it. And I think it's fun, you know, where this kind of taps into like the part of the content creation. It's like, I like to make something that you can like watch and then get, you know, have fun out of it. And I would love to like in the future do this again as the AI gets better, as I learn better with the prompts. The other side of this too is, you know, what started this is I would love someday to make a anime opening for Gundam Explained, like where maybe if I find some artists or animators that, you know, and I would even pay and then kind of, you know, just for fun. Cause that type of stuff is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm really into music too. And so like I associate music with things. So that's another.
Yeah. Do you ever find yourself like, obviously I enjoy doing like, you know, anime music videos. I did that Zeta Gundam opening credits that, you know, just using footage from a new translation. And then I did that like sort of Wing Gundam animation for Howling at the Earth. And like, yeah, I catch myself all the time like wanting to make anime music videos when I hear a song and I'm like, ooh, okay, so like the theme of this song and, you know, the tone of it really does sound kind of like an anime opening. And especially I was like, man, I should remake a Witch from Mercury anime opening and be like, if Witch from Mercury was like this, it would have been much more popular.
Oh, what do you mean? Like an intro that makes it seem like it's a different type of show?
Exactly. Yeah.
I
see. And then in particular, it was the, cause it was an older song I was listening to, that was like, early 2000s. And so it kind of had that same mood, that same emotion that,
You know, that's a really good idea. And that reminded me, I do have that. What is it? ZZ Top, you know, the band ZZ Top, but then there's the Double Zeta Top. What is it called? Core Top.
Yeah.
Top Fighter. So I got a ZZ Top song and just like mashed that. I think that's what it was, right? With the Double Zeta opening and it has the, I made the cover and instead of like the ZZ Top thing, I forget, that was a while ago.
That's yeah, that kind of stuff is fun, man. It's cool to imagine how they,
yeah, just make things. Because really, if it was more like Bandai came to me and they're like, hey, yeah, do you want to make an hour long short of Gundam? Okay, here you go. It's like, oh yeah, I would find music, I would get the special, you know, that whole, and so that's what I'm kind of doing here, you know, but just at a smaller scale.
Yeah, but honestly, you know, and this goes back to G-Quux, is like, you kind of should just do it, like do the fan art, because at the end of the day, you might be the next Hideki Anno and you might make a short story Godzilla that ends up in Godzilla and then, you know, become a fan of Gundam and then end up directing a Gundam. Like,
yeah. And it's amazing to think, because yeah, like I was saying, he made a little Godzilla fan film or like fan project in the 80s.
Yeah.
And then he worked on Shark's Counterattack, and then Evangelion was kind of a mix of Godzilla and Gundam. And I talked about that in the thing. And then he made a Godzilla movie, and then now he's made a Gundam. And I know that's like more of his team and not him, but he's involved. And there are certain aspects to it where it's like, that's a Hideo Anno thing. That's like, that's an Anno Hideaki. Yeah, Hideaki. I was about to say Kojima, because they're kind of the same person.
In a lot of ways. I mean, there's so many things about those Japanese visionary directors, Tomino, Anno, Kojima, that they have in common.
I know. Yeah, it's fun. I love it. Like, they're the guys that you want to hang out with because you can nerd out and come up with cool ideas, you know? That stuff is a lot of fun. Like, when I was with Andrew yesterday, where I'm just sitting there, I feel bad because his son was there, my son was there, they're the same age, and we're all like nerding out about like Godzilla, Gundam video games and all that. You know, it was funny, he was asking, he's like,
nerds.
Yeah, I know. But no, he was asking like, hey, I want to, what's a master grade I should get? I like something with a lot of guns, because he doesn't know much about Gundam. And I was like, probably master grade heavy arms.
Yeah.
And then I forget what he, if I could think, there was one he sent me a post of that he was looking to get. Oh, I totally forgot what it is. I'll have to remember. But that's kind of cool, though. Like, through Gundam, because it wasn't really through Gundam. Yeah, kind of. I met this guy, you know, for getting that stuff for photography. But then he didn't know about Gundam too much. And now it's like he's starting to get into it. And then it just happened to be this anime came out right now. You know, it's a really cool time for people that have always maybe been on the cusp and haven't fully dived in. And I do think this show could do it, and in a lot of it is because the movie already on the 2 days before it came out and an IMAX theater that's usually more expensive had so many people.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they were both packed.
And when I say packed, the first one more than the second, but they were big theaters, and it's more than I would expect. You know,
How much of that do you think is just down to it having a single showtime? Like,
you know what I think it is? I think it's because of the studio.
Oh, I think because of G-Kids?
Anime fans, because there's a lot of anime fans in this area.
Mm.
Not necessarily Gundam, but it's anime.
Well, because, you have a lot of anime conventions and festivals in your area. So,
yeah. And it's funny because they're not like the huge ones, but I wonder if it's like, DFW is really a huge area, but since it's not a central cultural hub for movies and TV or media properties, that's why there's maybe less of a footprint, but it's still big. And I think, because when I was there with, what's his name? The guy from Bandai that Ziani. Oh,
Justin Cavender.
Justin, yeah. He was even telling me how, like, no, this is a lot of people, but these are so much more chill than East Coast, West Coast.
Yeah, well, and one of the things, like, you brought it up, that, you know, New York, LA, they're typically like media hubs. They're not like Anime NYC is, you're going to get a lot of like kind of weird other stuff that's not anime there. Whereas I think what you'll find in like that DFW area is like, you know, what is it, like Anime Matsuri or
Anime Frontier.
Those are like people that are truly passionate about anime. And, you know, would you rather have like 1,000 really, truly passionate fans, or would you rather have 10,000 lukewarm fans?
Yeah. It's very interesting. And I really do like, how the conventions, like the Anime Frontier, I went 2 days of that. And
yeah,
you know, that's a lot, but it was fun and enjoyable. For now, like, who knows if DFW gets bigger, but also I wonder if the nature of things being remote to a degree, even though I do think there's some things that are going back to not being as remote, but that's okay. And I think there's some things that can always be remote. I wonder if we'll kind of see more of a, yes, and I think this goes back to the physics. We'll start seeing the population in the US slowly disperse and even out. Cause you know how all matter tries to find an equilibrium, or, you know, isn't that energy? Energy finds an equilibrium. I think over time, once enough sufficient resources like remote work, internet, with the US population, it could see itself kind of evening out. I wonder if that should be an initiative. Okay, that's getting into another topic. A government initiative to help with population control. I don't know.
Well, you know, it's just that is like a law of physics, is that high pressure systems always pass into low pressure systems. It's like when you think about temperature, right? When you put ice in a cup of hot coffee, it's not that the coffee is getting colder. It's that the heat from the coffee is going into the ice cube, because it's the high energy molecules going into the low energy molecules. Yeah. So it's kind of the inverse of what you think is happening at the physics level. And so, yeah, I mean, people are the same way. It's like you have people that are in densely populated cities, and it's like a pressure cooker.
I need to get out to Anime NYC. I know my wife and I talked about it, and I think the last discussion we had, it might be where if we do go, it would just be me, because we were thinking all of us, and then we were just looking at the, it's like if we, because it's like if me and her go, it's like, well, then we want to bring the kids.
Yeah.
You know, and then so it's like, well, if I just go by myself, I can then cut down maybe the time, you know, of days or whatever, keep it short, not be gone too long.
And then of course, I mean, just paying for a hotel up there is obviously, you know, going to be a pain. And
yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's very common to sleep on the streets. I mean, everyone does it.
Yeah,
I mean, a lot of people.
There's got to be something to it.
The most popular cities in America, that's the fad. Sleep outside, and you can still get paid. which is, it's sad, though, that I'm saying that. Like, on one hand, though, like, and let me just throw this out there. Because when I used to work in downtown Fort Worth for private security, I would see homeless people outside every day. And sometimes they became characters. Like, they were just a part. And then sometimes it's like, you know what? And I don't know if this is wrong to say, but it's like sometimes it seemed like their life wasn't so bad, because they would always show up at the same corners, same residents of the area would give them money and food. And then nights we would talk, you'd be like, yeah, tonight I'm staying at this place that has free, you know. And I mean, but
cool, you know, good on you, yeah.
Languish, you know. But I wonder to a different individual how much a 9-to-5 in an office is worse than being homeless, but still having structure and, you know, resources.
That's true.
We should ask, to circle it back around, you know, in Double Zeta, you know, it was really hard on the families. In fact, the parents had to leave the colonies. Could you imagine, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, my kid's going to go to fly to another state, maybe another country, another colony.
That's wild. And so this is one of the things, I'm glad you brought this up, because in this kind of tangential way to bring it back around to Gundam, is I know that a lot of people were highly critical of the ending of Requiem for Vengeance. Like, let me get this straight. She's been fighting this whole time just so she can get back to her kid. And then she just leaves her kid and like joins the Zeon remnants. And it's like, you know, you see a lot of examples of that. Even just look at Amuro's parents and his mom just saying like, you know, deuces, I'm going back to Earth, and you and your father can do whatever you want. Like,
I know
that's wild.
And I feel like it could be that time frame, or it could be, again, everyone's different, where their minds can adjust for that. She was already willing to leave her child to go to war. So her there being like, oh, I'll just stay and continue to fight, it's not like it's out of character. That's what I try to say a lot. She's still a Zeon soldier, you know. And sure, that element of wanting to get back to your kid, everyone has that. Even you might be just the medic that might not have to stay long, or you might be the commander that's going to have to go out and like everyone's going to want to get back to the kid. But depending on your duties, you might stay, you might be able to go. That's why I like that ending. I won't.
Yeah. I mean, people are going to find excuses to do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And sometimes that means being homeless. Like,
yeah. Like, you know what? So that ends with something else. And this isn't going to be a spoiler, but I wanted to mention something more G-Quex. Because one thing with Requiem for Vengeance is that kind of new type thing. Because that was the other thing I was thinking. Like, she's also a new type. So yeah. How much of that is a guiding factor in her staying on Earth? You know, because the idea of the attraction of new types, sometimes they fall into themselves.
Obsessive personalities.
Yeah. And so I will say, you know, when I was saying that the first part of G-Quex was amazing, exactly what I wanted. And then the last part seemed to be, okay, I could see where this is going to be. And, you know, I'm glad that first part existed. There is an element, and it has to do with new types, that is the one holdout, because it's almost like, here's an excuse to explain the new type phenomena in a deeper way that UC Proper actually didn't. Because so far, everything they've done is canon. So, I think I might have mentioned that in the video. It's just, I didn't want to talk too much about that just because right. How center it is, but new types, you know, new types. So it's a thing. But I can't wait. I hope you get to see it because yeah, if you guys don't know, if you are a supporter of this channel at a certain level, I'm going to do a G-Watch this weekend. Yeah, it's a supporter thing where we could talk G-Watch. That will be a special podcast episode that goes up.
That's awesome.
But hey, I'm not pressuring you. I know, man, family comes first. I get it. And there's only certain limited times that is playing.
Yeah. I mean, I wish it wasn't like right at baby girl's bedtime.
Yeah, I know. That stuff is tough. I tell you, man. Like, but it's... At the end of the day, it's like there's this greater cause that is like right there, you know.
At the end of the day, child, I'm doing this for you. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need to stay on the colonies so that I can go, join the remnants.
No, that's good. Well, cool. I guess we'll leave it there. The only thing I'll end with is, you know, shout out to Art Rovo Gundam, sponsor of this channel. Check the link description to go there if you want to buy something. And he actually saw it as well, the owner, and he actually sent me his review to read. And I was going to read it here originally, but then I was like, well, you know what? It's not like it's a spoilery review, but I think it is actually very well written in context to being a viewer of anime and Gundam in ways where it talks more about a lot of what the show is. And so I think next episode, I will read it.
Yeah.
I think so. It's really cool from, you know, the guy that owns his own Gundam shop, the really interesting way that he reviewed.
Yeah. His short review on Instagram of saying like, I need to buy more kits. That was,
yeah, I know. Yeah. That was the cool one. I remember when I saw that's yeah. Actually gave me the idea to be like, oh man, hey, let me know your feelings. I'd want to share that. Cause I think that'd be pretty cool. So. And that goes for everyone else. You know, I'm going to be really curious once more people have got a chance to watch this movie, what they think. I think it's a positive in the end. I do. So,
yeah.
But maybe we can make a pretend video that we're super toxic and we make up any complaint that we can. Like we make the knees, the Zaku knees. What?
I don't have to pretend.
Okay, that was good. We'll end there. That was awesome. Well, everyone, thanks for watching. We will be back next week. Until then, have a good one.
Cheers.